remember from last week, able to do immeasurably more than all that we can what? Imagine. Now, how many of y'all applied that this week? That God's going to do something greater than you can imagine even happening, that God's in charge? Are you feeling this intensity from the Scripture? It is about God. It is about God. It's not about us. It's about God. I say that about every Sunday. And the reason I say that about every Sunday, because as soon as we finish this service, every form of media will once again bombard you and tell you it's about you. It's about how you feel. It's about how you think. It's about how you look. It's about how, watch this, it's about where you'll spend your life here. And when we get to God's word, it says, wait a minute. There is something greater than you can imagine. I would say that's heaven. Huh? Can you all imagine with me for a minute? See if we can imagine for a minute. Especially those of you that are in leadership and run organizations. Picture this for a moment. Can you imagine running your organization where there is never an argument or conflict? Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more. Let me break it down to a smaller organization. Can anybody imagine, other than my wife, being married where there are no arguments whatsoever? Hey, let's take it on down to the next one. How many of you all can imagine having children and there never being conflict? So God is taking us to a place, would you agree with me? I just took you there. God is taking us to a place that we cannot achieve on our own merit. How many of y'all have heard that in the last four services? That God's bringing us to a life that you can't get on your own. That's what Paul's really trying to tell us. Now remember, there's a God that is wider than you are. There's a God that is deeper than you are. There's a God that cannot be measured by our standards, by our understanding, and it is that God we surrender to. Now, let me try to make this very practical. There's some things that just I don't understand yet. I don't understand how we can have this incredible message and not have people incredibly changing the world. And we got all these conferences. We got, watch this. I tell you, the era of the 20th century will be described in the church as noisy jazz. Noisy jazz. The church has made more noise to go nowhere for this period of history than I've ever seen. We fill stadiums. We got more technology than we've ever had. We have more colored brochures than Paul, the Apostle Paul, could ever imagine. But the deeper question is, have we truly surrendered our life to the flow of the Holy Spirit? Now, Hillview, this understanding brings our church to the next level. Bringing our church to the next level is not that we shout more. It's not that we jump more. It's not that we got cooler screens than we had before. It's not that, Keith's hair has different colors on both sides. These things are not what it's about. It's about this. Will I surrender to what God wants? And I want you to hear the words of Paul. Chapter 4, verse 1, after Paul writes who the Lord is, he talks about surrendering. And he uses this metaphor, as a prisoner for the Lord, then. As a prisoner for the Lord. Do you hear that word? As a what? How many of y'all want to have unity in your life? You want things to line up and unify. We strive for that. We want things in order. If our body gets out of order, what do we call that? Sickness, illness. And we usually go see these things called what? Doctors. And we want the doctor to show us what? What's out of order. What's out of order. My bones don't always line up right because they were kind of, readjusted throughout the younger days of my life. And occasionally I go see a guy that, boom, puts things back in what? Order. How many of y'all are looking for order? What about in your household? What do you want? You want order. How about in your working world? order. Now we're going to deal with a concept that is a must concept. If we would ever like grasp this, we would go forward. This is this powerful. Unity. Unity. The hardest thing I have found in this moment of ministry to really see, I've really never seen the church unified. This week, I go to a preacher meeting for a moment, and here's what breaks my heart. I will hear, going to a preacher meeting is about like going to a ball game. Everybody in the stands has got an opinion. Watch this. No preacher ever hears what another preacher says. You know why? They're too busy analyzing how he said it. They're always comparing. Well, I don't know why they invited him to the platform, because I'd have done a lot better job than him. That's right there why they didn't invite you to the platform. Or do we really ever listen to each other? I want you to hear the concept of Paul. He doesn't have an agenda to drive other than God's. Please write that down. He doesn't have an agenda to drive other than God's. Now, hold on. I'm going to show you something. For those of you that like to drive your agenda on your religious vehicle, Paul already knew how to do that. He knew how to drive his agenda through Judaism. He has had an absolute surrender to Jesus Christ. And now he'd rather for Jesus to drive him than Paul drive with Jesus. Do you see the difference? A lot of us are with Jesus, but we don't let him drive. We have an agenda. We have a preconceived notion. We have an idea of how things ought to be. And a lot of times when we stay in those ideas, those concepts, those principles, we rarely do we find unity. I'm watching right now a set of young preachers in America drive a theological system that is causing disunity all over the body of Christ, but yet they can't see that there's anything wrong with that. You know why? The problem is, it's not the theology. The problem is those who drive it. Because I'm not really sure any of us could write this as a prisoner for the Lord then. How many of y'all willing to be a prisoner for the Lord? Anybody here have been a prisoner? I mean, you don't have to answer that. But you know, if you're going to be a prisoner, then you eat when they tell you to eat, and you go where they tell you to go, and you walk where they tell you to walk. And this prisonership is not a bad deal here. As a prisoner for the Lord, he said, listen, I am captured by God. I am captivated by Jesus. That's what he's saying. My agenda is Jesus. Now, Hillview, I tell you what, when we get into that, what do you see happen here? There have been some great days here, and you know when they've happened, if we really look back and we were to go play by play, the great times that have happened here at Hillview is in those moments that we have surrendered to who? God, Jesus. We said, Jesus, remember the old hymn, there's an old hymn, have thine own way. That's a beautiful hymn. I love that hymn. I just wish we followed it. Here's what we do. Have thine own way, as long as it agrees with mine. Isn't that what we're really saying? Just as I am means accept me, but not my neighbor. What does it mean to be as a prisoner? I write this to you knowing there's a God that is wider than I am, deeper than I am, can do immeasurably more than I am. As a prisoner for the Lord, then... You ready? I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Man, the choir's done a fantastic job through the power of the Holy Spirit today to illustrate through about four songs. Did you listen to the songs? Of what we've surrendered to. God, yes, he loves us more than we can imagine being loved. I agree with that, don't you? There's nothing better than being loved by God. And it's as deep as you can go. But have we really surrendered to the love of God, or are we just kind of glad that he likes us? What does it mean that God loves us? That means he's taken away all of our sins. Now, here's what that means. Mr. Clark, he didn't take away our sins so we could go, I'm clean. Eric, he didn't take away our sins so we could create some cute guitar songs singing, you know, this is the day. He took away our sins and connected us to heaven so that he might be revealed. Now note this. Are you living a life that reveals Jesus? It encourages, watch this, to live a life that reveals Jesus. Now, I want you to know something right now. This will always block Jesus. Who blocks Jesus? Merle, who blocks Jesus in your life? You got to talk up just a little bit. We're aging to hear you, huh? Most of the time it's me too. I agree with that. Lisa, what about you? You're a lot sweeter than your husband. And what blocks Jesus in you even sometimes? Tim. Okay, I understand that. That was great. Don, you're a great Sunday school teacher. I hear about your Sunday school class every week. I'm disappointed I can't go. You know what I mean? What blocks Jesus in you, though? Anybody, Elizabeth, what blocks Jesus in you other than me? Myself. Eric, what about you? You have studied. You have a doctor's degree, meaning that you went to school for a long time. What blocks Jesus, though? Andrew? Jeff? Jamie? And Ben's nice and sweet. He's a lot sweeter than all the rest of us put together. Ben, what about you? Alan, you've studied forever. You've been you've helped people get healed and everything, but what blocks Jesus in you? You too? Dr. Cox, you're an all-American, but what blocks Jesus? Me. How many of y'all find that you block Jesus? Why? Anybody here want to be recognized? I'm going to give you a clue. The toughest place to be humble is where you win. I've found in our culture, everybody loves a loser. But it's hard to be humble when you win. How many of y'all find it to be true? In this moment of time, it's changed. You want to be in trouble here? Do it right. Who do we punish? We punish everybody that does it right. Used to, if you went to school like you're supposed to, guess what they gave you? Nothing, because they expected you to do that. Now they give you lollipops, pizza parties. We're like the church. Perfect attendance pens. But to be completely humble means, guess what? I'm doing this not so that I'd be recognized, but so that you might know Christ. This is Paul's heart. This causes unity. I want you to know Jesus. And when you want people to know Jesus, you know what causes unity is this. You don't major on things that don't matter. Come on, how many of y'all got a habit other than your pastor of majoring on things that don't matter? How many of y'all have stayed up at night majoring on things that don't matter? I've had a lesson this year of really having to deal with some things that really just don't matter in the long term, but they feel like they matter at the moment. I remember playing high school football, man. Our team, the cross was the only hope for our team. It was one of those teams we could get close but could never win. We won one ball game. Anybody from Allen County? We beat y'all, so that ought to tell you how bad y'all were. And I always wondered, and I'd always pray, God, why can't we win a game? And guess what I found out? It didn't matter as much as I thought it did at the moment. When I went before a pulpit committee, I never had a pulpit committee said, you know what? We really can't hire you because you went 1-9 your senior year in high school. They never brought it up. But at that moment, in that moment, guess what I thought? That was all that mattered. In fact, my father called me in one time and he said, son, have you given any thought what you might do with your life other than chase beautiful women, drive fast cars, and play football? I said, I'm trying to see if I can make a career out of that, Dad.
Guess what he knew? He was wise. Guess what he knew, though? He knew what I was involved in at the moment wouldn't what? It wouldn't last. It wouldn't work, Jack. It wouldn't work. So guess what? How many of you believe that Jesus Christ is the most worthy thing that you can embrace in this world? It's the only thing we got that goes on. Sue, I honor Kevin and y'all's life together, and I thank you for Kevin, because you know what? They did Kevin Klaus's funeral Thursday. You know what Kevin did? He died with dignity. But you want to know how important what we do here is on such. Kevin got saved. Sat right over there. About 4 or 5 years ago, Kevin asked Jesus Christ into his life. He had no idea that 4 years later, he'd be diagnosed with cancer. He didn't have that on his Bling or Google or whatever. It didn't show up on the schedule. They will not make an application to let you know when you're going to die. So if you keep looking on your phone to see when the end is, you'll never find it, okay? Because you know what God's trying to tell us? Live a life worthy. There's something that happened in Kevin's life that caused his life to be totally turned upside down. And first of all, he encountered a relationship with grace, which now allowed him to be humble, which allowed his life to come back into order. Do you understand the system here? Look at what Paul said. He knew this. As a prisoner for the Lord, I write to you, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Here's why we stay together. We have received a call of grace that is worthy. So just look at your neighbor and go, this is worthy. Now I want you to hold that phrase. What's worthy to you? What's worthy? Pastor Mark has taught me a whole lot of things over our time together, but one thing he has taught me that I didn't do real well, and he does real well. Mark has the gift of treasuring. If you go to Mark's house, you can just walk through his house. He doesn't have to say a word, and you can see what was worthy. And the first thing that sticks out what was worthy to him is the relationship he had with his mom and dad. That's what it says. I came from a mom and dad that have loved me, poured into me, and given to me. And Mark has this, Mark, what you're doing, it's a fancy word. You have created modern Ebenezers. That's what those shadow boxes are. But they're modern Ebenezers. Remember, the Ebenezer was the place where God had what? Moved. And Paul kind of connects with this right here. You ought to have a life that illustrates God is moving. Live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Now to do that, we got to do some things. Here's what I'm telling you. Together, God will. Look at your neighbor and say, together. Together. Come on, talk to him. Come on, go. Look, that was the biggest not together, together I've ever heard. Come on, together. Tell your neighbor, together. Okay, I'm going to give some cool things to you. Now, be honest with me. Don't raise your hand or anything. How many of y'all thought that building wouldn't get paid off? Some of you didn't think it'd get paid off because you told me. You know, what are we going to do? What did I tell you? Together. In humility, God will. Now, Hillview, I'm calling us out today. And I'm encouraging us and urging us. How much more does God got to do here before we get it? Because you know what he really expects? Every seat in this house filled. And we get those filled, guess what? We got young preachers that can go on and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to know if we want to step into that vision. Or do we just want to say we did pretty good? Well, if all we've done is pretty good, then guess what? We've never lived as a prisoner unto the Lord because he never does pretty good. And I drive people crazy with this stuff because guess what most people think? Well, if I just kind of live my life pretty good person, you know, everything be all right. As long as I'm all right. I'm so tired of glad handing churches, I don't know what to do. You'd think it's a bunch of puppies in there, not a bunch of believers. Just as long as everybody jumps up and down and says sweet things about each other, they think they're having church. Well, Lord, I've been with a bunch of drunks that do that. Hadn't y'all ever been? People get a little tipsy. I love you.
I had a friend, anytime he got tipsy, he loved everybody. Once he sobered up, he loved nobody. Any of y'all ever seen that? I've seen it. Anybody seen it? Huh? I love you. That's not what Paul's talking about. Paul's talking about a life worthy of the calling you've received. You have been changed. Live it up. Now to do that, guess what you got to do? Next verse. Be completely what? Humble and gentle. Let me give you three things. These are mandatory. You will never know the power of God in your life till you become completely humble. And if you got to tell everybody you're humble, that's because you're not. I want to give you some discerning moments. When somebody tells me it's not about them, they're up to something. When they tell me they don't want anything in it, it's because they want something in it. Beware of this one too. When somebody tells you, and I'm being honest with you, well, what, were you going to lie to me before? These are Kentucky slogans. Y'all know this one too. This one, I bring this up every once in a while. I ain't talking about anybody. Y'all are from Kentucky. Y'all have heard that one. See, so they use that one over in Ohio County too, don't they? That's kind of across the board state. Eastern Kentucky, West, I've been all over the state. And every one of us in Kentucky say that. They go, nah, I ain't talking about it. But let me tell you. It usually follows with this. If it's me. Okay. Meaning, that's what I want. What does God want in your life? Amen? Okay, we got to be humble. You know what humble means? It means simply this. God can do something greater than we can. You know who put this church together? God. You know why I'm excited to be a part of Hillview Heights Church? If you really look at this church, I mean, if you really try to analyze it, you can only blame it on God. This is my number one question I get asked at Hillview. How do all those different kind of people stay together? Y'all realize we got Republicans and Democrats here at church and none of them fight. Why? When we get to church, what's it about? Jesus. I don't care about your politics because guess what I know? They change all the time. Now this is what really gets people though. I'm not real high on emotions because what emotions do? How many of y'all found your emotions? You've been happy one moment, sad the next. You know, these people go like, well, I'll tell you what, I'm bipolar. I said, there's a reason for that. You're human. You know, at Christmas, there's a lot of bipolar experiences. You know, I have a different reaction from getting a brand new gun and a pair of underdrawers. Those are two different emotional experiences. You know, if I get me a new gun for Christmas, I'm walking it around. Look at this. Oh, man, this is great. And if I get me some underdrawers, I just put it in the pile of things that you need. But they're not real excited. Y'all never got real excited about that, have you? I told y'all, you know when age is coming. Age is coming when you get excited about those gifts. Because as a child, you remember, I wonder why my grandfather got so excited about getting T-shirts. You know why? I think as you age and you live with God, you'll come completely humble and you'll realize the little things are the big things and the big things were never that big. I mean, just things change. I remember in my 20s, I used to break out in hives when I drove down Scottsville Road. New cars. Now guess what they are? Payment. That's all I say. I don't see a car anymore. I see a payment. But before, guess what I saw? Car. I used to buy it. Elizabeth looked so good and I loved her so much. And when we were young married, I wanted her to have a good looking car always. With a big engine in it that'd go real fast because she needed that. Now, who was that about? Well, y'all were quick on that. No, how many of us do stuff like that? Now, you got to be completely humble. Look what it says. Completely what? Gentle. Gentle. You know what that means? Nathan, it means this. We don't force our way on people. Paul said, be live a life worthy. Be humble. Be gentle. Be patient. Bearing with one another in what? Love. Now, let me describe that for a second. Pastor Mark, I believe this has been misinterpreted in Scripture by the church at large. Bearing with one another in love does not mean accepting from one another the things that are destructive. No, hold on. Let that sink in. That doesn't mean everything goes. In fact, it doesn't mean that at all. Love means God goes, and anything that doesn't line up with God needs to go away. Isn't that the gospel, Andrew? But here's what we've said. Every pastor's had this experience right here. Somebody comes in and they need their light bill paid. You know when they come in? The day they need their light bill paid. Now, I don't know about you, but the same electrical service company that I have sends me a bill every month. Y'all get one every month? I know exactly when it's coming. Y'all know exactly when yours is coming? But apparently there's a group of people, they just do it like the lottery. They just take these bills and they pull one out and just send it to people on that day. And they come in. Well, guess what? Are they associated with the church? No. They believers in Jesus Christ? No. They come in and say, and if we don't pay it, guess what they tell me? You ain't a Christian. If you's a Christian, you'd pay our bill. You know what I want to say? And if you get a job, you wouldn't be in here bothering me today. But I mean, just point their finger with deep anger, expecting you because you're what? Now, hold on. Guess where they got that idea? Because here's what we taught people. Loving people is just giving them whatever they want. Loving people is just embracing whatever they do. Loving people is never bringing them to the good things. It's just letting them wallow in the sorry things. I don't know about y'all, but that doesn't sound like Jesus. There's some things Jesus doesn't want me to do because he loves me. Now he's going to be patient with me, but he wants those things out of my life because he knows they are harmful. There's some things I never wanted my kids to be involved in. I wasn't one of these parents that went like this. Well, they need to experiment. No, they don't, because I'd been to chemistry class. And one day the teacher turned his head and we experimented and about burned the school down. Okay, so I mean, you got to be careful with some things you experiment with. Because they're deadly. And God said, I want you to have life. A life worthy of what? What he's given you. I urge you. Now be gentle, be humble, be patient. Now let's look what we got to do. Stay in the bond of unity. Bear in love with one another. Now, here's the instructions. You ready? Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Note this. Keep every effort to keep the unity of what? Spirit. Now, here's what I want to show you. Live full. Don't let the little things in life become your major issues. Don't ever choose your friends based on your ideas. Learn to love people. How many of y'all got some people you love deeply that you disagree with? A lot of y'all in this room. I love you. What's this? Tim Merle and I get together, we got a great friendship, but we don't agree on everything. If we agreed on everything, we wouldn't have a great friendship. There would be nothing to learn from each other. Unity of spirit means we're going to do our best to humble ourselves before God with a gentle spirit to find out what God wants. Now this proverb makes sense. We ought to sharpen each other like iron sharpens iron. The agreement's not an idea. The unity's in what? Spirit. How many of y'all glad everybody in Jesus Christ here is going to heaven? Now watch this. Can anybody break that bond, Mr. Woosley? No. Why? Created by God, not created by humanity. So here's what I'm asking all of us to do, especially as this Christmas season approaches. How many of y'all know the challenge here? What's the challenge? Andy, what's the challenge for December? You remember? That's why I don't want to put you on the spot. It's okay if you didn't remember. I mean, listen, if I could say one thing one time and y'all get it, wow, that would be impressive because no human can do that. I want to challenge you at Christmas to share with one other human being the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to give the true gift. I want you to give the true gift. Now, this would be a great place. How many of y'all feel a little missionary-like? Any of y'all got, you want to have a call to a missionary? Here's a great calling. Go after Thanksgiving to the mall or Best Buy. Everybody will be there. And share Jesus. Please be very cautious. This is something, keep your head on a swivel. You can be trampled by people looking for a deal. Why don't you go share them the true reality? Isn't it obnoxious that we live in a culture where Thanksgiving is not about Thanksgiving, but a culture is focused on a bunch of stinking sales? Isn't it a shame that the Christmas season, you know, that there's no focus on Jesus and what does it mean to be unified? It's about, are we going to cash out okay at the end of the year retail-wise? We've become a very sick society. And until those who follow Christ understand this, we're not going to be able to illustrate the difference. Why does Paul want us together? The unity of spirit is about the promotion, the understanding, and the revelation of the kingdom. There is one body, and one spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called. There's what? There's one hope. There's not another hope. And that means this. There's one body of Christ. Those who are in Jesus Christ. One Holy Spirit. There are not many spirits. There are one spirit. Just as you were called to what? One hope. Not my hope, but what? His hope. Jesus Christ's hope. The hope of heaven. The glory of heaven. The hope of heaven. You ready? We'll deal with that a little later in Advent season. Look at here. And he goes on and he says, there's one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord. How many lords?
One.
I notice we're finishing up. We're wrapping up. How many lords, Nathan?
One.
So can you choose your own God?
No.
There's one. This makes Jesus so radical because guess what he's saying? I am the one. So there's one Lord. Oh, this is going to bother folk right here. One faith. Pastor Steve, you're a bigot. How dare you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way? What about all these politically correct, polite people that are going to hell? I told y'all, they're going to nice hell. This is what we believe. Well, it's what we profess to believe. Because you know what I believe? I don't know how you can believe there's only one way to heaven and not want everybody to go there. You? I want people to go there. People get mad at me. They go, well, Pastor Steve, I just can't agree with you that there's only one way. That's why I'm telling you about it. I'm telling you about it because God loves you so much. He wants you to go there. He wants you to be with him. He died so that your sins are forgiven. And he's risen so that you might know, I'm a God of life. A God of life. It's not about what we can do, but it's about what he is doing. Completely humble and gentle and patient. True, Nick? So listen, I'm challenging you guys. Listen, this is not preacher talk. I really would love to see every one of you share the gospel and that person receive the gospel. And Judy, you know what? Have you ever been in a baptistry before with somebody? I would love, you know how you get an opportunity to do that? Share your faith with people. Wesley, you've been in a baptistry? With your children? Yeah. I want my kids as a father to go to heaven. I'd be a little more concerned about that than everything else. True? How was it? Oh, we could do it again. Chuck? I mean, you Marine. Hoorah! I want you to see God win a battle and you get to be the arms of his victory. Huh? Y'all okay with that? Y'all are looking stunned. You mean Pastor Steve? Well, you know, if everybody in the church, you know, they did that, there'd be like, you know, 6,000-7,000 baptisms. Yeah. That's what I know. There's 85,000 plus, Tim, that number keeps growing. It's not going down. It's not going. Tim, I'm telling you, this is like chopping thistles. How many of y'all have ever chopped thistles? Good gosh, if the church could grow like a thistle patch, everybody in Bowling Green would be saved in 2 weeks. My father back there, he had thistle chopping to an art. There's Saturday. He and me, boom, 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 chopping thistles. Guess what happened next week? There was twice as many thistles as there was when we chopped them. They must have been resurrection thistles. I wish we'd get like that, man. You know why thistles multiply? Because they unify.
Now they get us, and they get pretty little purple flowers on them, don't they? Gorgeous. Until the little purple flowers turn into little white seeds. And then there's a gentle breeze, you know. They get that summer breeze and they blow all. And guess what? If your neighbor has gotten rid of all the thistles in their field, they really appreciate it when you have it. Because what are they going to do? Multiply. Why don't we do? You multiply when you unify. You can't grow in disunity. I don't care what program you use. I don't care what strategy you use. I don't care if you call it, you know, this program, this resurgence, that resurgence. You can't do it till you unify. Once you get in unity, God moves through. Look what he says. One Lord, one faith, one what? One baptism. The baptism of Jesus, baptized into Jesus. One God and Father of all, who is what? Over all, through all, and what? In all. Amen? Let me already do this thing. Well, how do we do it? Be completely humble. So that prayer would be this. Lord Jesus, use my life this week in such a way to show your grace. What if you prayed that prayer this week? Wonder what he'd do. I just got a hunch he'd use your life to show his grace. I've never seen God refuse that prayer. I've never heard anybody go, Lord, I'd just like to be a witness for you. And he go, nah. Y'all ever heard the Holy Spirit say that to somebody? Lord, I'd really love to serve you. And I'd really love to see people come to know you. Nah, I ain't using you. Y'all ever heard that? Now, sometimes he can't use you. Why? Y'all ever get tickled at people? You know what I mean? Just kind of people find you humorous. I love to watch these kind of people. Well, now I'll tell you what. I led somebody to the Lord, and I did this, and I did that, and I did this. And you know what? I just start laughing because they are so clueless that they can't save anybody. You know what you did? You delivered a message. I use this illustration all the time. Here's all we are. UPS, FedEx. That's it. I don't think we're United States Postal Service because God goes a little faster than that. But you see what it, no, I'm just kidding. You see what I'm saying? We deliver what? We deliver the what?
The message.
The message. Y'all ever got all intrigued about that? I mean, really, when the package person comes to your house, I mean, do you get excited about the person or do you get excited about the package? Mine's the package. How many of y'all ever waited for something to come in? You knew it was coming. How many of y'all knew what time it was coming? Now you can even track it online so you know exactly when it gets to your driveway. God has sent something that is more amazing than we can imagine. The grace of God. His package is this. He died for our sins. How many times? One. He rose from the grave. How many times? One. He baptizes you how many times? One. And he takes you to one place called heaven. He's a God of one. He is the first and the last, and he's the only. Now, if you don't believe that, then here's the deep problem you have. You're not a believer in Jesus. Let me tell you something that's impossible. You cannot claim Jesus as Lord and claim all the other gods. Now, you'll hear a lot of people say, Angela, you went through this a week ago with somebody who'd been in school. You know, they're a professional preacher. How many of y'all realize there will be professional preachers that don't know Jesus? That does not surprise Jesus. He had a bunch of professionals when he came down here. They were called Pharisees and Sadducees. They were religious professionals. And guess who they could not recognize? The Son of God. The key to life is the Son of God. So today I hope that you will surrender to humility, to gentleness, to patience, and to the understanding that there is one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one Spirit, one church. And it's not Hillview. It's the church of those who have surrendered to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's who God's coming to get.
Now, I want to make sure you're going. Cool deal? I want you to go to heaven. Is that all right with y'all? We've preached today, so those in here who are not yet connected to heaven might come to heaven. We've also preached today that you and I need to take an evaluation of our connector point. You know, are we unified or are we not unified? Are we sold out as a prisoner or are we not sold out as a prisoner? So let's ask God to bring us altar. Amen. If y'all don't mind, stand up with me. Man, let's stand together in unity, spirit and bond. I pray that God will bring you to the altar. If you don't know Jesus Christ, okay, let's look. One Lord. So is it important to know Jesus today? You need to tell him, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've messed up. I don't know. Lord, I want a new life. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you've risen from the grave. What will God do with that? He'll bless your heart with it. Now go share that. Amen. There's one baptism. I'm going to ask you, is baptism important? Good. I'm glad. Have y'all noticed that's mentioned in Scripture a lot? So apparently that's not something God said, well, if you get around to it, that's a good thing. One baptism. I think you need to be baptized. You know why? Baptism helps you understand the unity of Christ. The unity of Christ. How many of you need today? Man, sometimes I'm just not humble. How many of y'all sometimes are just not humble? Man, I demand my own way, and God's wanting to break through his way, but I get in his way. Church, I hope we surrender to Christ. So I want you to come pray for this part of the body of Christ in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Pray for unity. I want to pray that before this year ends, there'd be more unity among the believers in Bowling Green than we've ever seen. Would y'all join me in that battle? My eyes are puffy and I have some lines up on the side of them. Now I'm going to get some more. One of the battles that I fought that I hadn't seen much progress in is the unity among believers. And I understand that. Because if we were to ever get unified, that's when the big things happen. So guess what the defense is? Devil has one project. He never wants us to understand how unified we are. Because the day we do, he's seriously damaged. And Billy, guess what? We got to do more than singing about unity. Guess what we got to do? We got to actually become unified in the body of Christ. When that happens, guess what happens? A lot of this junk that we struggle with will dissolve. That's how powerful that is. A lot of it will, unity will dissolve a lot of the things we think are problems. Just unity. What is this? Here's how big it is. If we all could relax and get together, guess what? We could help some things in the nation. If I had to lead the nation right now, guess what I'd tell the nation? Folks, we have gotten our credit cards out and we have gone a little crazy. How many of y'all have ever gone crazy at Christmas time? You got in the spirit and the spirit got you in January. I don't know about you, but we have to like do two things to make that work if we ever get a little crazy. We have to cut what we spend. And y'all have to do that. And we can't spend more than we make. So that means, you know, instead of eating steak at Rafferty's, you get some of that macaroni cheese and put some of those saltine crackers under it and pray like it is steak. And you got to do that for a little while because you got to pay the dummy tax. Here's what we want to do in our world. We want to have it all with no sacrifice. This is how upside down we are. And here's what Jesus says. You can't have any of it without my sacrifice. Isn't that interesting? So let's pray and let God move. Lord, you are so wonderful. You have told us today how just... you're worth being captivated by. So God, I pray right now for folks that don't know you. Right now, just lift them up, Lord. Your spirit's got to draw them. I believe that. You know that. So Lord, I pray if there's any person in this auditorium that's never surrendered their life to you, that right now they're going to just pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned. Right now, Lord, I repent of that sin and I ask you to forgive me. Lord, I want to change. And so, God, I trust you to change me. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Change me. I pray right now that we would come and pray for humility in our congregation, gentleness, strength, and most of all, unity. And so as this altar opens up, if you've never been baptized, please come and talk to one of these pastors. Let's get that done. If you got some friends you know that need to know Jesus, come and pray that they would come to know what? Jesus. Prayer works. Don't doubt it. It's a place that we unify. So in the name of Jesus, this altar is open and it is waiting for the brothers and sisters in Christ who serve one Lord, who follow one faith. Jamie, who've been marked by one baptism under one salvific moment called the cross and the resurrection. May we come and celebrate Jesus together, praying, loving, and letting God work.